So there's a notice on the table. It says CP2000. And there's a number on it that's bigger than what you live on in a year. That's who we're talking to today.
Right. And the first thing I want to say about that number, it's a proposal, not a bill, not an assessment. The notice literally calls it proposed amount due.
Okay, but where does it come from? Because it feels like somebody looked at me.
Nobody looked at you. It's software. The program's called the Automated Underreporter, AUR. It sits on top of the billions of W-2s and 1099s that payers file every year, and it matches those against what's on your return. When the income on file is bigger than the income on the return, by enough to clear an internal threshold, out comes a notice.
Thresholds the IRS doesn't publish.
Doesn't publish, correct.
How much of this is happening? Like, volume?
The IRS data book shows the program closing millions of underreporter cases in a typical year, proposing billions in additional tax across them. There's no line item that says CP2000's mailed, so I'd point anyone to the current data book for this year's figures. But the trend is clear. Document matching is by far the biggest enforcement tool they have. It dwarfs traditional audits because a computer does nearly all of it.
Which brings up the 2025 thing.
Yeah, the workforce got cut roughly 27% in 2025. Reaching a human is genuinely harder now, but AUR is software. The matching, the notices, the escalation, all of that keeps going at machine speed. That gap is the whole reason a written, documented response beats sitting on hold.
Wait, back up. Mine's about a return I filed a long time ago. Is that normal, or did something new happen?
Completely normal. CP2000s typically show up a year or more after you file. Payer documents have to post, matching has to run, cases queue up. So a notice about a return you barely remember isn't a red flag. That's just the pipeline.
Okay, the question everybody actually wants answered. How often is the computer wrong?
There's no published error rate, none. But here's what the missing number hides. AUR computes from gross figures. It doesn't know your cost basis on a stock sale. It doesn't know a retirement distribution was rolled over. It doesn't know what business expenses offset a 1099. A proposal built without half the facts isn't a final answer.
Say that simpler for me.
The machine sees money coming in. It does not see the part that makes it not taxable. You're the one who has that.
Okay, that's the part people miss.
And you can actually watch your case. On your account transcript, code 922 is the marker that an underreporter review posted for that year. Code 922.
Let's do the triggers because I think the form matters.
The trigger dictates the fix. So, 1099R, retirement withdrawal or rollover? The answer is proof of the rollover or the taxable amount computation. 1099B, for stock or fund or crypto sales. The answer is cost basis records on form 8949, because the IRS often starts from zero basis. SSA 1099, you recompute the taxable share. Benefits are at most 85% taxable. 1099 NEC or 1099K, gig or freelance. That's a Schedule C with expenses, because AUR proposes tax on the gross and adds self-employment tax on top.
So self-employed folks get hit hardest.
Hardest, yeah. And two other edge cases. On a joint return, matching runs against both Social Security numbers. So a spouse's forgotten 1099 lands on both of you, and both of you own the response. And the 1099K threshold has reverted to $20,000 and 200 transactions. But a CP2000 always covers a past year, so notices built under the older, lower thresholds are still working through.
All right, the scary part. What if somebody just doesn't open it?
Then the proposal hardens into a legally assessed debt without a single human ever reviewing your side. And the sequence only goes one direction. Your printed response date passes. Then CP3219A. That's the statutory notice of deficiency. The 90-day letter. 90 days to petition tax court. And that's your last chance to dispute the amount without paying it first.
And after 90 days?
Assessment posts. Now it's a real debt. The 10-year collection clock starts. The failure to pay penalty starts at 0.5% a month. And a CP14 bill shows up with roughly 21 days to pay. 10 business days if the balance is $100,000 or more. Then CP501, CP503, then CP504. And at CP504, they can take your state tax refund.
CP504, state refund. Got it.
Then LT11, also called Letter 1058, final notice. 30-day clock, and that's where you have collection due process appeal rights. Form 12153. After that runs, they can levy. Bank accounts with a 21-day hold, wages continuously until released, and up to 15% of Social Security through the Federal Payment Levy Program.
None of that needs a person to decide it.
Not one step. Which is why I never heard back from the IRS is never evidence the case went away.
The article has a worked example. Walk me through it. And be clear, it's hypothetical.
Totally hypothetical, made up to show the mechanism. Retired person, Social Security plus modest withdrawals, sold inherited shares for $170,000. The brokerage filed a 1099-B with proceeds and no cost basis. The sale didn't get reported, so AUR treats the whole $170,000 as gain. Proposal comes out around $48,000 in tax, $9,600 accuracy-related penalty, that's the 20%, and about $3,600 interest, $61,200.
$61,200. And the response?
Inherited shares get a stepped-up basis. Say $150,000 at date of death. Real gain is $20,000. At the 15% long-term rate, that's $3,000. Plus, the knock-on effect of more Social Security becoming taxable. So true additional tax lands around $4,500. The penalty recomputes on the smaller figure, about $900, and may come off entirely with a clean compliance history or reasonable cause.
So the gap between the proposal and the truth is the whole story.
That's the statistic nobody publishes. And I want to be honest about the hard part. That only happens if the documents exist and you can produce them. Reconstructing basis across years of trades or building a Schedule C from scratch, that's real work. Nobody can tell you what your number lands at before seeing the records.
What if the computer's just right and I can't pay?
Then agreeing doesn't mean writing one impossible check. Short-term plan if you can clear it within 180 days, no setup cost. There's a guaranteed installment agreement, that's the official program name, for balances of $10,000 or less with returns filed. Streamlined agreement up to $50,000 total, up to 72 months, online, no financial statement. Currently not collectible if income only covers allowable living expenses. Collection pauses, debt and interest remain. Offer and compromise on Form 656, $205 fee and 20% down on lump sum offers, both waived with low income certification. The IRS accepted roughly 1 in 5 offers in FY 2024.
Every one of those is means tested, though.
Every one. Eligibility depends on your actual facts. And here's the CP 2000 specific wrinkle. You can dispute part of the notice and arrange payment on the rest in the same response.
So what does the listener do today?
Page 1, 2 boxes. The respond by date and the summary of proposed changes. That printed date controls everything. Then pull that year's return, and every 1099, W-2, SSA 1099, plus any basis, rollover, or expense records tied to the flagged item. Respond in writing, signed response form, documents attached, tracked mail, keep copies. If you need monthly payments, Form 9465 goes in with it.
And if the deadline's tight?
Call the number on the notice before the date passes and ask for more time. They'll often grant it if you ask before, not after. Get the representative's name and ID number. Write down the new date. It doesn't stop interest, though.
One last thing. Criminal exposure.
ACP 2000 is civil, full stop, handled by mail. It doesn't mean anyone suspects fraud.
If you want a set of eyes on it, send a photo or call Clarity Tax Relief at 888-825-7779. An enrolled agent will tell you where the number came from and what document answers it. Free review, and it's easiest while it's still a proposal.